Today is about the birth of Christ, based on the second chapter in the Gospel according to Luke. We find in the beginning of this chapter that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and that this taxing took place when Cyrenius was governor over Syria. This Caesar Augustus, he was a nephew to Julius Caesar. All the rulers over the Roman Empire, they bore this name, Caesar. And now this man, in the providence of God, he gave out this decree at this particular time that all the people had to go up to their respective cities to be taxed. Taxed in this sense means to be enrolled, to be have your name on the register of that particular city where you were born, so that this ruler would know just how many subjects he ruled over. And now we find that Mary and Joseph, they likewise had to go up to their respective city to be taxed. This Mary and Joseph, they were those that were in the line of the city, line of David. They sprang from the tribe of David out of Judah. And now these two persons, they were espoused to each other. They were engaged to each other according to Scripture. And this Mary, she was great with child. And now to find out how that she became great with child, we have to go back to the first chapter, where we find that this Mary, she had a visit of an angel. An angel appeared unto her and said unto her, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. This appearance of this angel unto Mary was that she was greatly troubled. She was greatly terrified, and she couldn't understand the salutation of this angel. And he likewise said unto her, Fear not, for thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and thou shalt bear a child, a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And we have here this angel speaking unto Mary, saying unto her that she was highly favored, as she was in this respect chosen by God from all eternity to bring forth into this world his only begotten son. Many of the women under the Old Testament time, especially virgins, they were looking forward to be this woman. They likewise had read in the prophetical book of Isaiah how that Isaiah had prophesied that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And many women had been exercised with this promise, hoping and praying that they would be that special woman chosen by God for this wonderful birth. But here we have now Mary, selected by God for this particular purpose. And she was a highly favored woman. Why? Not only that she was going to bring forth into this world the Son of God, but she was a gracious woman. She had been favored with the grace of God. She was a chosen vessel of mercy. She had been selected by God from all eternity, and not only for this particular purpose, but in whom he would be glorified. Now what a blessing, my hearers, to be favored in this respect by God. Oh, to be favored with his presence likewise, for we read, The Lord is with thee. What a mercy to have God with us, as she had. I wonder if any of my hearers have been ever highly favored in this respect. Oh, what a blessing if in this life that God comes to us and gives unto us to believe that we are a chosen vessel of mercy, that he has thoughts of love towards us, that he has selected us from out of a multitude of sinners for that purpose to glorify himself in us. And what a blessing if in this life we come under the means of grace and we are given signs and tokens and given to believe that we are that. That's another point, my hearers. Everyone can't believe that they're a chosen vessel of mercy. They can't believe that they've been selected by God from all eternity. Oh, how many souls are troubled concerning this. If you have been given faith to believe this at one time, how highly favored you are. And what a mercy if you have the Lord with you. You may have rich men, influential men who are your friends. You may be related to them. You may have someone that's in a high office. He may be a mayor, he may be a governor, that you are favored with his companionship, and you are looking up to these men that they'll help you out in a time of need. But you can lose all these friends, and these friends of yours can lose their position, they can lose their wealth and their riches, and you have nothing. In fact, these friends can even turn around and become your enemies. But let me tell you something. If you have the presence of God with you, and if you ever had a sign or a token that you were one of these chosen vessels of mercy, you are more better and far better than having any earthly friend. For you have a friend that sticketh closer than any brother, a friend that will never leave you or forsake you. If God is with you, how highly favored are you? He was with this woman, Mary. The angel spake it unto her. It was a message from heaven for her immortal soul. But she stood there, troubled, concerning this salutation that he greeted her with. And then he spoke unto her again. He said, "Fear not, Mary." This salutation troubled her. Have you ever been troubled? Have you ever been cast down in your mind whether you're a chosen vessel of mercy or not? There may have been a time in your life that you thought you were. You had such signs and such tokens of it, you had to believe it. But when all these tender feelings and all these desires and longings that you experienced at that time dried up, you couldn't believe anymore that you were one of those chosen vessels of mercy. You became troubled. You became cast in your mind concerning this most important question about your immortal soul for eternity. And now what did the angel say to Mary? He said unto her, "Fear not." Have you ever had a fear not? Oh, there's so many of these precious fear nots in the Word of God. And you know they're there for a purpose, my hearers. They're not just there to read and pass over, but God uses them because he has so many people of his that are filled with fears, that are troubled concerning of their immortal souls and the salvation of it. And if you ever had a fear not in this life, my hearers, you have a blessing from God. But when this comes, it takes all fear away. It takes all the troubles and all the anxiety about this particular question out of your mind. And you are given a token to believe that God has a favor towards you, that God is with you. And that's what happened to Mary. He said unto her, "Fear not, Mary," and all her fears were gone. And he said unto her, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and thou shalt bear a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus." All my hearers, this Mary, she began to wonder how this was going to take place. She was a virgin. She wasn't married. She never had been near a man. How is it possible that she could conceive and bear a son then? This was reasonable to think this way, and therefore she questioned him. "How shall this come to pass?" she says. And then the angel spake unto her and told her that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and that which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And my hearers, this was the way then that this person Jesus, this Emmanuel, was to be born and to be brought forth into this world. You will notice in this that there was nothing of man there. It was all of God. The announcement was of God. The declaration unto this virgin was of God. And this, the Holy Ghost would come upon her, and the power of the highest would overshadow her. And then she would become pregnant, and she would be given to bring forth into this world this Son of God. My hearers, it goes the same way spiritually with every soul whom God has a favor to. The Holy Ghost comes upon that person, be it man or woman. And when that Spirit comes into a person, that Spirit begins to discover unto that soul what it is and what it has become in and through sin. And that person, he comes into the throes of a new birth. He has pangs. He's filled with anxiety. Or he longs and desires to know whether God has a favor towards him or her. This Spirit of God, likewise, operates in the hearts of these dear children of his, so that they likewise are given to see something of the beauty and the excellency of Christ. The power of the highest overshadows them, and they likewise are given to look forward to the coming of Christ to their souls, that he may be revealed to them, that he may be born in their hearts. They are exercised by this Spirit concerning Jesus. I wonder how many of my hearers are exercised this way. All my hearers, so few are exercised about the need of Jesus, the longings after him. Oh, I wished everyone was in this way, filled with the Holy Ghost and overshadowed by the power of the highest. Then there would be expectation for your immortal souls. And now we find that this is the reason why that Mary and Joseph are on their way to Bethlehem, being great with child she was. And they're going up to Bethlehem. You know, when this took place with Mary, her and Joseph, they lived in the city of Nazareth. And they knew something about Scripture. They must have read in the Scriptures what Isaiah had prophesied, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and he would be called Emmanuel. They had read in the Scriptures that he would come forth out of the tribe of Judah, and that he would be born in Bethlehem. They lived in Nazareth. How was this child going to be born in Bethlehem? Should they go up to Bethlehem and make a residence there? They did not. They didn't go their own way. They probably were exercised too concerning this. And lo and behold, the God who rules in heaven above, he rules in the hearts of kings and even in the heart of the Caesar. He gave out a decree at this particular time that they had to go up to the city of Bethlehem. God took care of it, that it had to be born there. My hearers, we find her going up with her husband to this particular city, Bethlehem. And when they came into this city was overcrowded with people. It's only a little town, according to the commentary. It's a beautiful town. There's a lot of olive trees and fig trees, and it's very fertile. It lies about 6 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And the city of Nazareth was 70 miles from Jerusalem. And traveling in those days was very expensive, and therefore they had to go up to this place according to the decree of Caesar. And when they got there, as I said, they applied to the inn to find a place to stay. These inns, they had accommodations for people. They had little apartments where they stayed in for 3 days. And now this inn was filled with travelers. Every apartment was taken, and there was no room for them in the inn. Even seeing that this woman was very near to delivery, you would think that they would have had mercy and compassion upon her and would give her an apartment. But it seems that humanity was so cruel, and they had no compassion whatsoever. They just sent her out of the inn, that there was no room for her. Probably the rich and the wealthy, they had taken all the rooms. And they were in poor circumstances, they didn't have much. And therefore they had to shift for themselves. And we find them going outside of the inn, and around about the inn there were places where others also put up with their cattle and with the donkeys or whatever they traveled with, their camels. And there they stayed. They had stables and places where they fed their animals. And this is where Mary and Joseph found a place to stay. There was no room for him in the inn. My hearers, you know what an inn is. Many of us probably have stayed in an inn. You know, an inn is a place where you can put up for overnight. They have rooms that you can rent and you can stay there. In these inns, round about our ways, we find that usually they have a restaurant or they have a bar. Many of them have a dance hall. It's a place of amusement most of the time. We would call them brothels of sin, where people seek pleasure and to satisfy the flesh and the lust thereof. And now, my hearers, if you were to go into such a place today and you were to begin to speak about Jesus Christ and his mission into this world, what do you think you would get? I think the people that were eating there and drinking and dancing, they would immediately call the proprietor and they'd tell you to throw you out. There's no room for such things in the inn. There was no room for Christ in the inn when he came, was to be born then in this world. And there is no room in any inn round about here or in this world for Christ. And now this inn, my hearers, typifies our hearts. Our hearts by nature are brothels of sin. There's no looking for Jesus in our hearts by nature. There's no need for Jesus. And we say inwardly, we will not have this man to reign over us. We would rather visit an inn as I've been describing it unto you and enjoy the pleasures of sin therein. That's us by nature. No place for Jesus in our hearts. May I ask you a question? Is there a place in the heart of you for Jesus? Are you longing for him? Have you any desire that he would visit you? Do you say sometimes inwardly, as this brother to Rachel said unto Eliezer, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, for wherefore wilt thou remain outside? Do you wish him to come into your heart? Do you wish him to reign over you? And then there's something going on in your heart. And then there'll be a time coming when he will enter into that heart, and he will make it his habitation, his dwelling place. Already his spirit has come in and has given you these desires and these longings after himself. We don't have these by nature, believe me, my hearers. I never had them. And I don't think any soul has them until God puts them there. And there was no place for him in the inn. Oh, how sad it is that we don't have no place for Jesus Christ. And now, my hearers, they went into this place. It's called a grotto in the commentary. It seems that they put these cattle in this place. It seemed like a cave, although we have in Scripture that it was in a stable, that it was where they kept the cattle. And this is where Mary and Joseph went to. And while she was there, behold, she gave birth unto this child. Here then we have the Lord of life and glory appearing into the world. Now, when we consider this, my hearers, where this Jesus was born in such a lowly station, in a stable amongst the cattle, or when we think of him as the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, the upholder of it, and that he humbled himself and became like unto us in this respect, a babe, helpless, lying there, needing to be tended by its mother. Oh, when we look at this, we have no reasons to be proud or to be haughty about anything that we have. When you consider him who owns the world and who fills it with its riches, oh, and you see him lying here in this respect, oh, should it not lead us to humility? And my hearers, this person, Christ, coming into the world in this way, he was not proclaimed in the city of Bethlehem that he was born, And there was no notice given of his birth. Had there been a king or a queen that they were going to have a child, why, it would have been published long beforehand and people would be looking forward to it. But here now, the God of heaven and earth becomes man, and no one knows anything about it. You know, it would have passed unnoticed had not God taken care of it. And now the time that Mary was to be delivered came, and she gave birth to this wonderful child. My hearers, I wonder if there are any amongst them that are also overshadowed with the power of the highest, upon whom the Holy Ghost has come and brought you into the pangs of a new birth. But then there is a time coming for you just as well as it was for Mary, that you are to be delivered. Or there's a time coming, soul, when you will be delivered from all your sins, from all your transgressions. You know, it's pretty difficult for me to say this because I'm troubled about it myself, and I've been looking so long and waiting so long for the deliverance. But I believe in the Word of God, that He is a true God, and that He keeps His Word. He kept His Word here, although it was through 1,000 generations, and He's still the same. And no soul ever sought Him that didn't find Him. He does not give you to seek for naught. He has not said to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. And there is a time coming when each soul that is experiencing these throes will be delivered. Oh, what a day that will be for your soul. I hear you saying, oh, I wish it was today. I wish that my soul was set into liberty. I wish that God would pardon my sins and give me to believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, that I had this question put out of doubt. Oh, what a day of deliverance that will be for your soul. Aren't you looking forward to that? There isn't anything that you can find comfort in except that. Now, this is your only hope, your only expectation. You're saying yourself, if I don't have this, it's a lost matter with me forever and ever. And now, my hearers, God in heaven, He begins to proclaim about the birth of this dear Son of His. Who does He proclaim it to? There we find shepherds tending their flocks by night on the hills outside of Bethlehem. These shepherds, they were godly fearing men. They were persons likewise that were seeking and longing and waiting for the coming of the Messiah. They many times probably had said to each other, I wonder if we'll ever see Him in the flesh. I wonder if we'll live that time when He shall come. They were hoping and praying that He would come, because all their hopes and expectations were in this Messiah. And now here they are upon the hill, taking care of their flock by night. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appears unto them. Now this angel who appeared unto them, it was Gabriel. He had appeared unto Mary. He had appeared unto Daniel 500 years before. Angels are messengers, tiding bearers of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, He came down into this world in the Old Testament time as an angel. He appeared as one many times. And here this angel, he speaks unto the shepherds. These angels, they come from heaven. That's the place where there's no night. It's always light there. And they are encircled with the glory of heaven, with the light of heaven. And the glory of God shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Oh, can't you picture them shepherds, my hearers, in the night, dark, suddenly, around about them, everything was lit up. And here was a heavenly messenger. Oh, you can imagine how terrified they were, how filled with fear they were. And all this angel, he began to speak unto these shepherds. And he said unto them, behold, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, namely Christ the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful message this was. And when this angel got through speaking unto these shepherds, lo and behold, the heavens were open, and thousands of angels surrounded these shepherds in the sky. And they began to sing a glorious song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Oh, this is the employment of these glorious creatures in heaven. They sing the praises of God. They sing without a jarring note. They're never out of tune. They always sing perfectly. And my hearers, these shepherds listening to this angel, they had a glorious vision given unto them. And this angel spake unto them and told them, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, namely Christ the Lord." How many souls here would like to have that message brought home to their hearts? Wouldn't you like to have somebody say to you, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior"? Aren't you needing a Savior? That little word "you," my hearers, has struck me so often when I've read this text. And I began to contemplate upon these shepherds. Oh, what a message of salvation it was for these shepherds. It was a personal message for them. It was a message of great joy, which would be unto all people. But oh, it was a special message unto them. Oh, what a wonderful vision this was for them. And suddenly this vision was taken away. And we find these shepherds speaking to each other and saying, "Come. Now let us go and see what the Lord has made known unto us." Now they were taking care of their flock at night. Now they were employed lawfully. Take notice, my hearers. God is free where he wants to visit us. Maybe at your work, maybe at night in your bed. It may be in the house of God. He's free to come wherever you are. He has access to your heart at any time. And he had access also to these shepherds. And now we find that these shepherds, they leave their flocks. I don't think that they just ran away from them and left the sheep to take care of themselves. No. They probably selected someone to take care of them. And they went to the city of Bethlehem. And they came with haste, it says. Oh, they made haste. They hurried to get to this particular city to see whether what they had heard said unto them was true. And when they came, my hearers, they found Mary, they found Joseph and Mary and the babe lying in a manger. Oh, they found then this wonderful child, Jesus Christ. He was lying in a manger. When he was born, his mother wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in this little manger, a place where they fed the cattle out of, a little box probably, in which they put the feed so that the cattle would eat out of it. Now, this is where the Lord Jesus was laid in. Oh, when you consider the preparations you make, my hearers, if you're going to have a child, and you're looking forward to the first one that's going to be born, oh, the bassinet has to be a certain color, it has to be a certain kind, it has to be so good, and you have to have a room for it, and everything has to be just up to date. Just think of this Lord Jesus, where he was born, and what he was laid in. All my hearers, they found then this child lying in this manger. Did this affect them? That he was only in a manger, that he was in a stable in a barn? No, my hearers, it was by faith that these shepherds came there. And when they seen this child, my hearers, then these shepherds, they became preachers, they became ministers. They began to speak. And what did they speak about? Oh, they began to proclaim what they had seen on the hills back there where they were taking care of their sheep. They began to tell the vision that they had how the angel had spoken unto them and told them that this Savior was born for them. And there they were viewing this Savior. Oh, I can picture them in my mind so clearly, my hearers. Oh, I believe that they would have loved to take this child up in their arms and kiss him. Oh, I believe that they said, this is our Savior. This is the one we were looking for. This is the Messiah. Oh, he is ours because the angel said it is for you. It's ours personally. And all they began to proclaim that it was not only for them, but that it would be for those who likewise would be given to hear from heaven about this wonderful Savior. It would be unto all people. And all my hearers, these shepherds, they began to speak, and the people that were around there, they all wondered at the words that these shepherds spake. You know, when the Holy Ghost takes possession of a person, and that person begins to overflow with the praises of God and of the wonders that God has wrought, that's all other people can do is stand there and wonder. They can't understand what's coming out of such creatures. Now, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, if you remember. They began to say that men were filled with sweet wine. They were. Oh, it was so sweet. And I believe the shepherds, they were filled with that same kind of wine. Oh, when they began to proclaim what the angel had said and the vision they had and how these angels had sang, all these people were dumbfounded. They wondered at what these shepherds were speaking about. And now while they were proclaiming these things, we find Mary, the mother, as she pondered all these things in her heart. Oh, she listened to what had been said by the shepherds, and she was filled with wonderful thoughts concerning this child that she had brought forth in the world. Oh, she's a type of every child of God, my hearers. You know, whenever a child of God comes up to the house of God, and God is pleased to speak and witness with the word in the heart and give them to see something of the beauty, of the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, you'd like to look into such a heart. Oh, if that heart could bring out what's going on in it, oh, you would hear something like what the shepherds were speaking about. Oh, they would overflow too with the praises of Jesus, of his beauty, of his excellency. But they don't say anything, they just ponder about it. And it's just sweet meditations in their hearts, just like it was by Mary. And now we find these shepherds going back. And they left this scene, and they went back